You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Got a good show today and kind of an interesting one at that. A little off the beaten path and a returning guest that is one of our favorites and one of the ones that we love to talk to about some of the strange and unusual out there and one of my favorites because I get to talk about some family history for a change. Our guest today is Scott Walter. He's a forensic geologist and television host. He's best known as the host of the series America Unearthed, which you can check out on Discovery Plus. Scott is based right here in Minnesota, my own state, where he's the founder and president of American Petrographic Services and the inventor of archaeopetrography. I can't even say that right, Scott.
Archaeopetrography.
I can't say it, Scott. You know I can't say that.
That's all right. You're not the first person to struggle, and you won't be the last.
Well, I certainly will struggle with it throughout the program. The process used to date and understand the origins of inscribed stone artifacts, and we're going to talk about quite a few of them within this hour. Scott, thank you for coming back to Darkness Radio. We appreciate you being with us tonight.
I'm thrilled, brother. This is going to be fun.
I'm going to come out of the fences swinging here. There was a story we read last week on Supernatural News, not this week. It had to do with Uri Geller and the famous spoonbender, that's the best way to put it, in psychic. Who?
Well, that's a fact. He was the famous guy who bent spoons.
That he was. Who came out of the box and said famously and with many boastful, egotistical statements that he was going to come out, Scott, and I am going to find the Ark of the Covenant. I know where it is, and only I know where it is. And that was a kind of a spin on what he said, and that I'm going to astound the world with what I find. But he wouldn't go into specifics. So the minute he said this, you came to my mind, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call Brother Walter, and I got to get some, as one who deals in this stuff, I got to get not only his opinion on what Uri Geller had to say, but kind of get an idea of what Uri Geller is in for if he goes for this search for the Ark of the Covenant. What is your reaction when you hear that?
Well, I mean, geez, you know, I mean, he's welcome to do whatever he wants. And if he found the Ark of the Covenant, that would be amazing. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that. And I'm not going to put much money on a bet that he's going to find anything. But really, he's kind of misinformed from the get-go, because one of the things that I can tell you from the sources that I have that I trust and I think are accurate is that the secret of the Ark of the Covenant isn't where it is. The secret to the Ark of the Covenant is how to make one. In other words, there isn't an Ark of the Covenant. there are lots of them that existed in the past, because based on what we understand from these reliable sources, it's basically a power source, right?
Okay.
There's a certain ingredients that go inside of a box. There's certain metals that are part of this process of constructing one, and it is used to generate current. And that battery, if you will, which it really is used to power certain things. Some people have suggested things like the pyramids and other ancient temples, megalithic structures around the world that are in various forms or levels of disrepair today. So I think a lot of people go back and read biblical accounts, and they have to remember, understand that there's two levels to the Bible, right?
Yep.
There's the one level for, and this isn't a cut, this isn't a negative statement, it's just the word that is used for people who look at the Bible on this first level. They call it the profane, who are not, basically profane means people that are not initiated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain level of the Bible where people interpret the writings as the historical accounts of actual people who lived. There's another level to the Bible, which is the allegorical, symbolic level that basically says that these people are not necessarily specific individuals, but they represent the moon, the sun, the planet Venus, the constellations, you know, the heavens, what's going on. These stories are often about the interactions of what are happening in the heavens and how they affect humans here on Earth. And some people believe maybe the interaction of other beings out there and their interactions with humans down here. So I know for sure that there's an allegorical level, symbolic level to the stories in the Bible. And I know that there is that other level. So when you talk about the symbolic level, you also have to think about things like the Ark of the Covenant. What are they really saying about the Ark of the Covenant? Some of the information, and I should also say that while there's two levels to Scripture, there is also the possibility that both are in play, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not just one or the other. It may be both. So that's something that people have to keep in mind. And it's difficult for people who are not Freemasons or people who have not been initiated into certain orders that teach you about allegory, symbolism, code, and all of that. And so it's you know, I don't want to get too deep into this because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are going, what the hell is he talking about? Many other people out there that are initiated into various orders understand what I'm talking about. But I think the point is you have to be very careful about assumptions that you make about things like the Ark of the Covenant. There isn't just one Ark. And so if Yuri's going out there, he should probably qualify his statement and say, maybe he does know where one of the Arks is. But if he thinks, and if he's successful, that he finds an Ark, that's not the end of the story. It's the beginning.
What do you suppose Yuri thinks he's going to find when he finds one of these arcs?
Well, I think he thinks he's going to find a box that might have some angel-looking things with wings that are actually used to be the connecting points between electrical activity. There may be some handles on it, according to certain Masonic ritual. Through the higher degrees, you start to learn some things about the Ark of the Covenant. We actually have a replica of the Ark of the Covenant that's used in various degrees. In one of the degrees that we, actually one of the degrees that led to an amazing discovery about the Kensington Runestone inscription actually occurred in the York Rite in the second level of degrees called the Cryptic Council, and specifically in something called the Select Master Degree. And of course, then the final degrees are the Chivalric Degrees, where you are at the end knighted as a Templar, Knights Templar. In any case, going back to the Select Master Degree, one of the things that we learn in this degree is some of the things that are inside and on the Ark of the Covenant. I should say allegedly, because how do we know for sure what was on the Ark that's described in the Bible? And if there's other Arks out there, do they have the same things in them and the same things on them? I don't know. But again, just some things to be aware of. But in this degree, the Ark of the Covenant plays a very important role. And I'll give you an example, a pretty easy example of allegory or symbolism that relates to the Ark of the Covenant and the Kensington Runestone.
Okay.
You might recall that in the inscription, the number 10 is referred to twice. 10 men red from blood and death, 10 men by the inland sea to look after our ships. Now, in the Runestone, I wrote a lengthy paper after I went through this degree and I discovered something. But I wrote a lengthy paper about the fact that there is real historical information on the Kensington Runestone, and there's allegory, symbolism, and code. Wait a minute. I said the same thing about the Bible, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And I meant what I said. And let me just give you an example. So in this degree, and in the Bible, this isn't a great shock. I'm not going to tell people about the other things, but I will tell you about this that is in the Bible, according to the Bible, are what? The Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
The Ten Commandments. Now, in the degree, we learn that there is a secret vault that's built under the Holy of Holies in the temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, where a copy of all the true treasures that are found in the Holy of Holies, a copy is kept down below, nine arches below, in the secret vault. So if there's an ark up in the Holy of Holies, then there's another one down below, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's two arks. So that means there's two tablets of 10 commandments, 10 men red from blood and death, 10 men by the inland sea to look after our ships. Now, that may not make a lot of sense based on the way I just explained it, but if I told you the entire inscription and how it all fits together, it would make even more sense. But the point is that the number 10 could be a reference to the Ark of the Covenant. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I'm hoping it makes sense to our listenership as well.
Well, it might not, but hopefully they can grasp that there's more going on than one might think.
Indeed. I have a feeling, at least when I hear Uri Geller's words, that he thinks that he's going to open that box and there's going to be stone tablets there. Is that kind of what you surmise as well?
Well, that kind of sounds to me like what his expectation might be. Personally, I think he'll probably be disappointed. Even if he finds an ark, I'm not sure that he'll find tablets inside them.
If by some chance there were tablets there, let's play a little game here, if you will, Scott. If there were, tablets there, what language do you think they'd be written in?
Well, you know, the answer is I don't know. I mean, if they truly go back to the time of what we believe to be what people think was the biblical Moses, who I think was also Pharaoh Akhenaten. Some people have made that connection. I tend to think that that makes a lot of sense. It could be in Egyptian hieroglyphics, but I think it's probably more likely that it's in a language, maybe Phoenician.
Okay.
Or Proto-Phoenician language, which was the precursor to Old Hebrew and Modern Hebrew. I mean, that was the progression. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's most likely the case.
Explain.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Explain to our audience why you have that theory as to who Moses is.
Well, if you go back and you look at the time, you know, Akhenaten was the heretic pharaoh who took over, you know, the pharaohship. And it was he who was the one that wanted to change the religion. This was the heretical thing that he did, from polytheistic multi-god dualism, the concept of opposites that keep things in balance, right? Mm-hmm. Male, female, heaven and earth, good, bad, light, dark. That whole yin-yang theory, right? But a single deity at the top, as opposed to multi-deities that we think of when we think of the Egyptian ideology. So he was the one that wanted to change that. The problem is, and there's a reason why he wanted to change that, and it has everything to do with astronomy, which is basically what everything always goes back to, right? And the whole concept of precession of the equinoxes. Because when Akhenaten came into power, he came in at a time when the age of Taurus the bull was transitioning to Aries the ram. And that is why you see him depicted holding a cross, crook, and flail on his chest. The flail herds the bulls, the followers of Taurus, the old religion, the Apis bull culture, versus the new religion, which is symbolized by the crook, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the rams, the sheep of Aries, right? So his attempt to unite the religion failed, and he was driven out, and they destroyed and damaged his statues, and they tried to erase all evidence of his influence during his reign. Well, the followers of the new religion, the Aryans, were driven out of Egypt. And they traveled north. And that is what we now call the Exodus, right?
Right.
And eventually they settled where? In Egypt, and became the Hebrews, is the simple story. Mm-hmm. But what's key to this whole thing is that all of this is tied to astronomy. And basically when all cultures around the world have their shamans, their shamans, their medicine men, their wise men, their priests, astronomer priests is really what they are, who would keep close track of the movements of the heavens, right?
Right.
But one of the things that's key that most people have no clue about and how important it is in the history of humanity and what happened, and that is this precession of the equinoxes. And basically what it is you've got 12 constellations that encircle the globe, right? Mm-hmm. And they're up there, you know, the Scorpio, Pisces, Sagittarius, Taurus the bull, Aries the ram, you know, Capricorn, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
The 12 primary constellations. And that zodiacal belt goes around the sky, but it also goes through the eastern part of the sky. And what happens is, because of the Earth's wobble, this zodiacal belt slowly, almost imperceptibly, rotates, right? And it takes exactly 26,000 years for this precession cycle to make one revolution. So if you started with, say, Aries as your primary constellation on the eastern sky, on the spring equinox at sunrise, when the sun rises through that constellation in the eastern sky, that's what designates the age of that time period, okay? But because of precession, slowly but surely, that constellation dips below the horizon and the next one cycles in. Now, if you divide 26,000 by 12, you get about 2,160 years. But the dividing line of these constellations is not equally divided by 26,000. It depends on the size of the constellation. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. The smaller ones disappear quickly. They're shorter. The big ones, they take longer. Now, Taurus the Bull is a big constellation, and it lasted about 2,700 years, which is part of the reason why the Apis bull culture became so ingrained in Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. Aries was a small constellation. It only lasted about 1,400 years. And then something else very interesting happened. And I think you'll catch on to this right away, Tim, okay. Is that as the age of Aries the Ram began to descend, the new constellation was about to come in. And the last pharaoh, grandmaster, astronomer priest of the age of Aries the Ram is the biblical figure that we identify with as somebody who is often, always depicted wearing a wool shawl, mm-hmm. carrying a shepherd's crook, mm-hmm. in his arm or a lamb at his feet. Who am I talking about?
That would be Jesus, wouldn't it?
John the Baptist.
Oh, John the Baptist, right. Okay.
Right? And then we have a guy who appears on the scene who was born of the Lamb of God. What does that mean? You've heard that phrase, right?
Right, yeah.
What does that mean? It means that this person was born in the last 4 years of the age of Aries the Ram, who is then baptized by John the Baptist. Now, who am I talking about?
That would be Jesus.
That would be Jesus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had them mixed up.
who becomes the Fisher King. Well, what the hell does that mean? Well, guess which constellation cycles in after Aries the Ram descends?
That would be Pisces.
Pisces the fish, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So he becomes the Fisher King, right? Mm-hmm. Now you know what that means. And what's really important here is to understand that Pharaoh Akhenaten was one of the most important historical figures in the history of the world, who came into power and understood that things had to change because of precession. And then we have Jesus and John the Baptist, who I would argue are pretty important people in the history of the world, right?
Right, yes.
And I would argue that, yes, they were important people, no question about it. But I would also argue that maybe the reason they were important wasn't necessarily because of who they were as much as when they were. You follow me?
I follow you. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just take it a step further. How many years has it been since Jesus was initiated?
Math is not my strong suit, Scott.
Well, about 2,000 years, right?
Yeah, about 2,000 years, right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We are now transitioning. Pisces is going below the horizon, and a new constellation is coming in. Do you know what constellation that is? If you don't, I'll give you a clue. Do you remember the most popular song of a band in the 60s called The Fifth Dimension?
The Age of Aquarius.
The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Bingo.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, brother, and everybody listening, And I mean this sincerely. I've just demonstrated to you two of the most defining moments in human history, right?
Right.
Certainly Jesus, right?
Right, yeah. That's that a big one.
And I would argue Akhenaten is just as important because it led to the whole story of John the Baptist and Jesus, right? So not only are we transitioning to a new age, but it is also the end of the 26,000-year-long cycle. The great year, as it's called, is now ending. And the new great year is beginning. Think about that for a second. This only happens once every 26,000 years. We are living through, right now, one of the most profound moments in human history, and nobody understands it. What I can tell you is that there are prophecies, predictions that are associated with these age changes. And it's been prophesied for a long time. You ever heard of the last pope?
Yeah, well, yeah.
The Malachi prophecy?
Yeah.
Brother Malachi was a 12th century Cistercian monk who founded the first Cistercian abbey in Ireland at Mellifont. His best friend was St. Bernard de Clairvaux. St. Bernard de Clairvaux wrote the charter for the Knights Templar Order. He was their patron protector. And that's another story. But Malachi in the 12th century said that in 2012, the current pope would resign. The new pope would be from the new world, not from the old world. And that he would be the last pope. That pope is Pope Francis. The current pope, last pope, resigned. He's from South America, the New World, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
2 for 2. And what does it mean that he's going to be the last pope? Does it mean there won't be any more popes? Or does it mean that the next pope is going to be something dramatically different in Catholicism than what we've had historically? I guess we have to stay tuned to see that, right? But one of the other prophecies associated with the transition from Pisces to Aquarius is it would be a time of great upheaval, a time of change, not a good time for the human population. Well, guess what? That's 3 for 3, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I would argue that it's been pretty shitty the last couple of years.
You're right about that.
Actually, the last 5 years, mm-hmm. but digress. I don't want to get into politics, but it's been a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Our democracy was almost overturned. Democracies around the world are in trouble. You know, Russia's flirting with war. It's a tough time, and this was all predicted. So I think it's important for people, if you take anything away from this procession discussion or diatribe that I've been on, is that we need to pay attention to the past. We need to learn from the past. You know that old adage, those who do not learn from the past are destined to repeat it. And we are doing that now. And frankly, Tim, we're better than that.
Yeah.
We really are. I believe we are. So part of what I consider to be my job is to educate people about things like precession, to understand what happened in the past so we don't make the same mistakes going into the future and we can be prepared for what's coming. You know, I was never a big believer in prophecies or predictions. But I got to tell you, I'm being persuaded by the things that I've researched, by the science behind it. This procession is all science, right? Astronomy mm-hmm. is a hard science. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see that there's for lack of a better term, a mystical side to things that we can't ignore, that we should not ignore, that we should try to learn from, try to understand better. I mean, every single person that's listening right now has had a deja vu experience, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, how many times have you been thinking about somebody and they'll call you or they'll text you or they'll, well, people don't knock on people's doors anymore, but you know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's like
yeah.
about something and I'll say, oh my God, that's amazing, right? Everybody has experienced that. What is that, right? Is that all coincidence? I don't think so.
No. Mm-mm.
I can't explain it necessarily, but there's something else there that is part of the human condition that is undeniable. And I just think it's important for people to maybe just take a step back and learn from the past and be open-minded to new things. I mean, as a scientist, you know, I focus on the facts. I try to interpret them and draw conclusions. But, you know, I've lived long enough to realize that there's more out there, that the answers aren't always black and white. And I just think that people should branch out and explore things and learn about things that they may not have ever delved into. And more than anything, be open-minded, be tolerant, listen. I got a great, can I tell you a quick story?
Sure,
about
absolutely.
A guy that I know you know. Have you ever heard of the guy, a guy by the name of Bud Grant?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who is he?
Coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The only coach as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think, you know, people that are as old as we are that know the history understand that he was somebody that people greatly respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's still with us. He's 95 years old.
Yep.
And I know Bud personally very well. My wife, Jan, and I both know him very well. I was the best man in one of his son's weddings. So
oh, wow.
I know quite well. And I got to tell you, he's as classy a guy in real life as the legend that, you know, people think about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say nothing if I thought that the legend was, you know, overblown. But he is one of the few people I've met that lives up to the hype, that walks the talk, right?
Right.
So anyway, flashback to my college days, and his son Bruce and I are playing basketball with a couple of his brothers and a bunch of guys at their house. And, you know, we played a few games, and then we come in the house, and Bruce's mom, Pat, would, you know, get us water and whatever. And then we went and sat on the couch, and Bud's watching TV. And then I start talking. Imagine that, right? And I'm yapping away about something, and Bud turns around and he looks at me and he goes, "Scott." And of course, you know what I would, I just went,
yeah.
Oh my God. You know what I mean, right?
Yep, yep.
And he looked at me with that dramatic pause. And of course I shut up and he looked at me and he said, "You never learn anything when you're talking." You know what I said after that?
Yes, sir.
Nothing, nothing. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that story with you. It's pretty good.
That's a great story. Coach Grant is the epitome of I think everything we all want to grow up to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And he, you know, he just, you know, and just to give you a little personal side, I have a lot of Bud stories, but Bruce passed away about 3.5 years ago.
Oh no.
From brain cancer. He had glioblastoma and it was tough. It was a real tough thing. And that was, you know, we talked about this, Bud and Janet and I, you know, you never want to bury one of your own kids, right?
Yeah.
The first, Bruce's birthday is December 31st,
mm-hmm.
around the holidays. Mine's on the solstice. Janet's the 27th. Another good friend of ours is, 29th. So there's a bunch of birthdays. Well, that first year after Bruce passed away on December 31st, my phone rang, Bud Grant. And he just wanted to talk. And then the next year, December 31st, Bud Grant. Hey, Bud, how you doing? Last year, not this year, but a year ago, he called me up. He said, I got something I want you to look at. Can you come over? It's on Bruce's birthday. So we went over. We spent the afternoon with him. This year, I beat him to the punch. But 4 years in a row on Bruce's birthday, we have a chat. And at 95 years old, he's doing great. Oh, he's doing great. He's with it. He's sharp. And he's one of my heroes. But don't tell him that.
Oh, well, God bless him. He's one of mine, too. I mean, the word respect should be right next. Bud Grant should be in the dictionary.
Yes,
the word
his
respect.
Picture. His
yeah.
picture.
Yeah, his picture. Yeah. I mean, the ultimate respect is paid to Bud Grant. He's just such a gentleman and and toughness. That ought to be the next thing next to Bud Grant as well.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those teams.
Do you remember, this is getting to be several years ago now, but do you remember the wide left when we were playing Seattle at the Vikings, while the new stadium was being built, they
oh,
were
yeah.
playing the new U of M stadium at the
yep.
time.
Yep.
We were playing Seattle. We're down by two. We're on the 12-yard line or whatever.
Oh, yes, the field. Yeah, missed field goal. Yep.
Wide left. Remember that?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
And it was like 5 below or some ridiculous. It was just ridiculously cold. You know who did the coin toss?
Was that Bud that year?
It was Bud. And he went out there in short sleeves. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, it's funny because I watched him afterwards. We have season tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him after he did the coin toss. He walks off. He goes to the sidelines. And people are yapping with him. And he didn't put a coat on. You know, it wasn't like quick for show. Right. Here's this 90-year-old guy, and he's out there in short sleeves, and he never put a coat on. He walked off the field and out, you know, into the thing, and oh my God, it was great.
Notoriously tough. And for listeners who don't know, his teams never had hand warmers, or there were no warmers on the sidelines.
No heaters.
No yep. heaters. Nope. I think he even frowned at guys who wore jackets, to be honest with you.
He would let them wear jackets a little bit, but
yeah.
The things he said, because I did ask him about that. I said, Bud, you know, were you worried about the guys, you know, their muscles cramping? He said, no. I said, what about them getting sick? He said, people get sick from germs, not from cold.
That's true.
That is, and I'm so like, true. Well, yeah, there's something to be said for that.
That is so true. I tell you what, Scott,
anyway,
let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit of family history. I happen to have something in common with a former assistant of yours. We have the same relative. It happens to
really?
Do with the Knights Templar. So we're going to talk a little family history. It's coming up in just a quick moment here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, Just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. With me today is Scott Walter, and we're talking all things having to do with, we started with the Ark of the Covenant. Now we're talking a little bit of Knights Templar, because I have some interesting questions as well when it comes to this. Bernard de Tremblay is my, I believe it's 18th great-grandfather.
And, really?
Yeah. And was alive until 1153 at Ascalon. Then poor man was.
But now was he one of the original knights that was one of the original nine knights that went into the Holy Land supposedly to protect pilgrims? Tell me a little bit about him, because I've heard the name, but I don't know his history.
You know what? Let me pull up Wikipedia, because I know some of it, but I don't know all of it. It was one of those things where I didn't, you know, honestly enough, let me tell you a little story here, Scott, as I pull up his Wikipedia page. When I was in high school, I had honors history with Mr. Dahl over at Blaine Senior High, and we were talking about the Knights Templar, and I had this very lucid it was almost like a dream. I didn't fall asleep, but I had this kind of vision where it was a knight's head on the desert floor, and there's blood running
knight's
out.
Head?
Yeah. And it was running out. There's blood running out from underneath it. But then I saw from behind the helmet, like the eyes actually looking out and seeing the blood running out from underneath the helmet. And I was a little freaked out. Right. But then I also saw what looked like Egyptian soldiers around this helmet. And then at that moment, I hear wham on the desk. Okay. And I wake up. Well, Mr. Dahl had a wiffle ball bat. He used to carry it. Yeah. He used to carry it around the classroom when kids would fall asleep, and he'd slam it on the desktop.
No.
When kids would fall asleep. And he looked at me and he said, "Welcome back to the class, Mr. Dennis." And I was like, okay, that was weird. But he was talking about the Templar in the class at the time. And so it was kind of an unnerving thing. And so I go to Sunday dinner at my grandparents' house. We did that because I come from a divorced family, and that was what my grandmother wanted. We get there and my grandma says, "What are you talking about in school, dear?" And I said, "Well, and we're talking actually in history, which is one of my favorite courses. We were talking about the Knights Templar. And she goes, well, you know, we have a relative that was a grandmaster of the Knights Templar.
Ah, okay.
And it was on her side. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And we started talking about Grandpa Bernard. Let's see, of the many accomplishments, I know he was he went further into the Middle East than Richard the Lionheart. He was awarded the Gaza Strip. I know that much.
Cool.
It said he was born in the Castle Tromelain near St. Claude in the Jura. He was elected Grand Master in June of 1151 after the abdication of Everard de Bar, who had returned to France and following the Second Crusade. King Baldwin III of Jerusalem granted him the ruined city of Gaza, which Bernard rebuilt for the Templars. 1153, the Templars participated in the Battle of Ascalon, a fortress at that time controlled by Fatimid Egypt. The Templars constructed a siege tower, which was burned down by the Egyptian soldiers inside Ascalon. The wind caught the flames, and part of the walls of Ascalon burned down as well.
Yeah. Interesting. That was 1153 was the same year that Bernard de Clairvaux, I was just talking about him a little while ago. That was the year he died.
Yeah. Yep. So
cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, and I think he was the fourth grandmaster.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah.
Look at you, man. Yeah. You've got Templar lineage. So you may want to look into that York Rite if you,
oh yeah, that was my intention the entire time. So yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting degrees in the York Rite, but I will say that, and I've done a lot of degrees. I've been the whole Scottish Rite, York Rite, obviously the Blue Lodge. I'm also in some other things. I've done some other degrees, but I have to say the Knights Templar degrees at the end of the York Rite are some of the most impactful. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, one of the things that's always fascinated me about your research has been the Knights Templar research that you do and right. the history of the Templar after, oh, let's just say the little skirmish in France.
that misunderstanding.
Yeah, the misunderstanding between the Vatican and the Templar.
That Inquisition. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of caused them to scatter to the four winds and what happened afterwards and your research with that. If we can, and I know we have just about looks like 17 minutes left here, and I know you've, through your different programs that you've had on TV, and I do want to address one or two things. I was fascinated with the different cathedrals that you had been to in Spain.
Right.
And the things you had found there. And
in Portugal.
Oh, Portugal. I'm sorry, Portugal.
Yeah.
And the common denominator of the hooked X between all of that.
Yes.
Is there? I know. There's a pattern where, from the fleeing of France to Scotland and to Portugal and then further out from there. Also, I believe it was the second series you had the
pirate bone, treasure.
Yeah, the pirate treasure with the bones of Jesus in the ossuary.
Right.
That fascinated me as well. I'm getting to a longer and longer question here, but I guess the question being is that, you know, the saying is that the Knights Templar were Christ's soldiers. But there's I know there's an old guard that's over in Europe. Have you met with this old guard and have you had any ties to them or talk to them or discovered evidence from them?
Are you talking about orders that are different Templar orders? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I guess. Is there still remnants of the original order that exist over there? Yes. And have you met with them? And have they provided some? Yeah.
And yes to all of that.
Okay.
there is a what we consider to be a true tradition of Templars. There's many different Templar orders, as you know. I'm a member of three. Janet's a member of one. There are Templar orders, true Templar orders that initiate women. One of the biggest misconceptions about academia, they reject the mystical side of the Templars and their history. And, you know, they go with the standard narrative that the Templars were Christ's, you know, they were Christ's warriors for the church, for the Roman Catholic Church. And many of the Templar knights that were not in leadership positions probably held that viewpoint. But I make the analogy and I say, well, do you think that the generals in our military have information beyond what the foot soldiers have? Well, everybody knows the answer to that question. Why would it be any different with a military order during medieval times? And in fact, the Hooked X was emblematic of an ideology that was secret to them, that had symbolic meaning, very important, deep and important symbolic meaning. And, you know, if you understand these traditions, which very few people do, which I think I do because I've been initiated into them, frankly, some of the charges against the Templars that most people say were trumped up by the church actually were true. They were out of context, of course, but... you know, the church spun it in a way that demonized them. But if you understand what they were really doing, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
One of the things that they were accused of was worshiping the head of an idol. That's true. The head, the idol and the head of that idol that they worshiped was John the Baptist. And I don't think I have to remind you, brother, mm-hmm. at all of our lodges in Freemasonry are dedicated to the holy saints John, mm-hmm. John the Baptist and John the Evangelist. But what most Freemasons don't know is prior to 1600, it wasn't the saints John, it was Saint John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Which is the question, why is it in Freemasonry we invoke the name of John the Baptist, but you never hear the word Jesus? Nor should you. So I will just leave it at that for the people that are probably like, what is he talking about right now? There's just, you know, the Templars are not who people typically think they are. I mean, they you know, were they the fighting force for the Roman Catholic Church? Yeah, kind of. But they had their own agenda. They had their own ideology that was antithetical to the Catholic ideology. They were not Catholic, not even a little bit. They embraced an ancient faith that predated Christianity. They just simply pretended to be Catholic. They used the Virgin Mary as a metaphor for the goddess who they truly venerated and put an emphasis on, because let's face it, the Roman Catholic Church had tipped things out of balance. It was a patriarchal faith. Women are down here, men are here. Mm-hmm. Templars, the true Templar lineage, by emphasizing the feminine, were trying to bring things back into balance to achieve balance, right?
Right.
And that's what the Hooked X represents in part. So I just want people, if they come away with nothing from this interview, I want you to understand that the standard academic definition of who the Templars were is not who they were. And part of the reason that the church tortured and burned them is because they finally figured out what was really going on and considered them traitors. and you burn somebody because you're pissed, right?
Right.
So there's a lot more to the story that they haven't told us, right?
Exactly.
Was it about money? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was part of the equation. But like everything else, it wasn't that simple. There was more to the story that they just don't talk about. Do you want to admit as an institution that you were duped by the people you thought were your fighting force? The ones that were making money hand over fist? You want to admit to that? Hell no. To this day, they haven't admitted it. But it's the truth.
Very much so. Yeah. And very embarrassing for the church as well. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but look, they made their own mess. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Being hard on the church. But guess what? In my view, they're the most corrupted institution that in the history of mankind. And their whole doctrine is built on a lie. I'm sorry. But that's the truth. Okay. I mean, this whole resurrection story is an allegory, right? Until I see somebody rise from the dead or a woman give birth without sex, I'm not buying it. Okay. This virgin birth stuff didn't happen. So what did happen? Right. Well, let's think about the allegory part real quick.
Sure.
On my birthday, ironically, December 21st, or as Janet likes to say, the shortest, darkest day of the year, which it is, right?
Right, yeah.
The sun stands still, is in darkness, is in the tomb for 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
December 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And then what happens? It's resurrected. It comes back. And then what happens? We have new life coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Direction. Isn't that what that is? New life. New life in the spring, right? When the sun comes back. And who is always there? Well, right now, if you go outside your door and you look to the west, if the sky is clear, you're going to see the third brightest heavenly body in the sky, the planet Venus, right? When she's a evening star, which she is right now in the wintertime, and she follows the track of the sun. When she's a morning star and she rises before sunrise, she's bright and beautiful. And then when the sun comes up, she fades away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's still there. In mystical circles, they call the sun and Venus the eternal travelers because they always travel together. They are emblematic. The sun, Jesus, Venus, the goddess, his consort. Who is his consort? Mary Magdalene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was there when Jesus was resurrected? Mary Magdalene. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? So I think you see the parallels. I think you see the allegory, right?
Right.
The question is one true? Is the other true? Or are both true? I guess people have to decide that for themselves.
Exactly. Got about 6 minutes left here, and I want to ask you, Scott, there was a post recently online, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about it. I'll let you kind of take over from here because I know people had some questions about it when it came up online, and I'll let you go from here. There was a post about a journal that had come up or a book that had come up online. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, you know, there was quite an uproar about that, especially in the academic community who had a lot of fun. With the fact that this journal that we had initially been led to believe was about 130 years old, clearly the book is modern, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people had a lot of fun with that fact. But what they, I think it was dishonest, frankly, that they refused to admit that the information, even in a modern book, could be old information, right?
Right.
And gee, history books contain information about stuff that happened in the past, right?
Right.
Why couldn't that be the same with this particular document? Now, in fairness to people, you know, I made some pretty bold statements. I stand behind both of those statements, but I think a lot of people assumed that those things were in this book. Well, actually, they are. The question is context. What is in it? When did it happen? And all of that. We don't know the answers to those questions yet. We're doing that work right now. But the other thing I think that people need to understand is that those bold statements I made in context with this book is directly related to a lot of other historical material that we've had for years. We've already vetted a lot of this information, and that's where those claims came from. And I was hoping, and I'm still hoping, that this book is additional corroboration of all this other stuff that we have. And we have a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the story is, but we have more work to do. And make no mistake, the book is modern. You can buy it on Etsy and on Amazon. We're happy for people that figured that out. We figured it out too, literally 10 minutes after we focused on looking at the book. I was actually busy for 2 hours straight photographing every page in the book. There's over 200 pages in the book. Mm-hmm. It was Janet who actually discovered that the book was modern, literally after about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But that aside, we've taken a cursory look at the information. It appears to be consistent with the other stuff that we have. The question is, when was it done and who did it? We know it was done recently, but where did they get the information? And is it reliable information? And that's what we're working on now. So I guess it's a lesson I would ask people before you go running off, drawing conclusions without understanding any context. Why don't you give us a chance to do the work? Trust me, I'm a professional. I've been doing material forensics for a long time. I've worked on a lot of important, interesting projects, and we will get it right. And if it turns out there's nothing to this book, I'll say so. But just remember, what do they say? Never judge a book by its cover.
That's a great way to wrap that one. Never judge a book by its cover. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, these academics could learn from that phrase and put your snarkiness aside. And instead of, you know, shooting your mouth off, why don't you ask intelligent questions? Because if you do, I'll answer.
Yeah.
But when they jump to conclusions, everybody loses. So that's all I have to say about that. In the words Forrest Gump.
that's very true. Very true. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. I appreciate it, Scott. Appreciate you coming by and weighing in on the Uri Geller stuff and talking a little bit about the Templar with me. Yeah. When that news story came up, I was very intrigued about what exactly Uri was going to find. So I had to go to the source and try and figure out what exactly Uri Geller thought he was going to find out there with the Ark.
Well, you know what? I think this is one of those things where, and in fairness to him, I don't know what background information and research that he's done and what he knows, what he doesn't know. But I would just, you know, all I can say is he and the people that support him, people that are listening to what he's saying, just go into it with modest expectations. How about that?
That sounds good. Well, Scott, thank you very much for joining us today. Do you have anything coming up on TV that people should know about?
Let's just say that nothing right now that's imminent coming in the near future, but you will see us be launching a new platform here in the near future. We might be on TV in the future. We do have some publications that we're working on, and there is a lot going on, let me tell you. Right now, in the Templar world, especially Templars in America, it couldn't be more interesting, more exciting. There is so much going on. There's a lot to come. So stay tuned.
All right. Sounds good. That'll do it for
today. Thanks for having me, by the way. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right, folks. Thanks very much for joining us today. We'll be back again next week. Be sure to tune in for more episodes and the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No